today on CodePen Radio.
Hey, everybody. It's time for another episode of CodePen Radio. This week, you may notice that I'm not Chris Coyer. I'm never Chris Coyer, but this weekend especially, I'm not Chris Coyer. I'm Marie Mosley, and I'm hosting CodePen Radio this week. Chris is in Seattle right now. He's at an event apart, and probably right as we record, he's out there doing an SVG talk. So I'm in the host seat today. This is actually our first founder-free episode of CodePen Radio.
All right, we've finally broken
it's
the chain.
It's both Australians.
It's both Australians.
Yeah.
It's two Australians.
The mother nation.
No founders. And it's going to be 30 minutes of solid founder roast jokes. So, yeah, get ready for it.
You know what really pisses me off about Tim?
Right. So actually, that's for the B-roll. But what we're really going to talk about today is our projects. And we're going to talk about building projects in React. You may have heard last week's episode was about projects in general. We just talked about the actual new product called Projects. And this week, we're going to talk about the technological change we made to build it by moving over to React. But before we get started with that, Rach, do you want to talk about just what Projects is in general for anyone who's curious still?
Yeah, so Projects is our new product, which is unlike Pens, which you're probably familiar with, where you have three files, essentially HTML, CSS, and JavaScript to work within. Projects is more like a IDE where you can have several files and you can build an entire front-end web project in the cloud on CodePen, just like the way you would on your computer, except you have the added convenience of we handle all of the processing for you in the background, so you don't have to configure any build tools, and you can get started making a project with all of your favorite languages like Sass and Pug and, you know, Babel without having to do any of the build tool configuration. And you can, once that project's finished and you're happy with it, you can also deploy it straight to its own URL and hook up one of your own domains if that's what you need to do. And you can actually host your new website that you've built in Projects on CodePen. So that's pretty much the gist of it.
And it's very cool. A lot of people have already started to do that. We've seen a couple of hosted websites that people have done with Projects, and that's been really exciting. Mm-hmm. And that was Rach. I forgot to introduce you, Rach. Tim Holman.
I am Rach. Hello.
Yeah, also Tim Holman. Sorry, Tim.
I am also here. Yeah.
Just wanted to jump right to it. But in deciding to build Projects, we had to make a decision to approach the architecture in a very different way. There's, you know, the original Pen editor was built. Tim, maybe you can talk a little bit about the historic Pen editor.
Yeah. Well, so the original Pen editor is, I mean, and kind of most of CodePen, really. Truth be told, it's kind of what you would expect from a new company, where CodePen kind of started off with a very limited set of what it aims to do and what it really achieves. And as that kind of grew, the framework that it was built with kind of grew with it. What it had is, we were talking about it a little bit earlier, a little bit similar to Backbone, but kind of without the whole view. So there's models and there's controllers, but everything else is kind of rendered server-side, and it's just like very jQuery heavy. It kind of like hooks on and builds on from there. And it's not the worst, but it is something that has kind of, I think we've started to grow out a little bit.
Alex calls it, because Alex actually wrote it. I think it's like, he says it's like 2010 JavaScript or something like that. Because that's what it is. For the time it was written, it was like, it was really what people were doing to create interactive web apps, because these like frameworks didn't really exist at that point. So, but yeah, it's just not what people do these days if they're trying to build.
Right. I mean, it's not overtly complex either. You know, Rach and I have been able to, and Jake, just like go in and start building things the same way, kind of like monkey see, monkey do. But since we had projects and we had such a huge opportunity to kind of greenfield it, that's what we did.
I remember when we were, you know, first starting about, you know, starting to talk about projects, starting to put together the ideas for what it could possibly do. One of the early things that came up was that, you know, we all heard React was cool and everybody was kind of keen to give it a try. I know that Alex had done some, like, a side project with it right when we were starting to talk about projects. And I think, had either one of you two had any experience with it prior to that?
I had a project, but not with the whole kind of Redux stack, which does change a lot.
I'd built like little, I'd messed with components rendering on CodePen, but not really, no. I hadn't really used React to build an app of any kind at all.
So what was the deciding factor that made the deal for React?
It's so funny because looking back, it's like, so there's like this React meme, I guess, where like it for a while, like anytime someone mentioned, you know, a single page app, JavaScript, or like on Twitter, people would say, I heard React is good, like, because that's React is kind of peaky in popularity at the time.
It went a little bit nuts.
And that's kind of why we did it. Like, it was like, sure, this one's the most popular, let's do it. Like, which everyone says is like, don't do that. Like, that's the worst reason to like pick something for your stack. But we just sort of didn't, I mean, we knew a little bit about the other options, which I guess are like Ember and Angular at the time, but I don't know, it's just something about React appealed to me personally, just because it was not opinionated, like it basically handles rendering of data for you and then everything else is for you to decide.
I think it felt pretty clear that it was going to stay around for a while.
Yeah, exactly. The backing by Facebook and just, you know, it just had this feeling about it that it was going to be a solid technology to pick up. I really liked it because where I worked at Active Theory, we built a sort of similar hand-rolled, like, solution where you render your HTML in JavaScript components. I was so used to doing that. I love the idea of like JSX because I just love writing HTML and JavaScript. I think it's great.
So JSX.
Pretty sure I was like the least opinionated as well. I was like, I don't want to be a part of this conversation.
Just tell me when you decide.
Somebody can just choose. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember there being a whole lot of debate about it. It felt like React was almost settled within the first, you know, few hours of seriously talking about, you know, how are we going to do this? I think that everybody was kind of eager to give it a shot. Mm-hmm. And you know, I did remember hearing, you know, a little bit of talk about Ember, a little bit of talk about Angular, but really it was React that was the hot one. Mm-hmm. So for you, Rach, what was the learning curve? What was the experience like of getting into React and moving from what you're used to into what sounds like, to me, based on what everyone has said, a pretty different world?
I was the first one to even start coding on projects just because that was just what availability was like at the time. I had nothing to do. Other people had things to finish off. So the bosses were like, why don't you start doing it? And I'm like, cool, guess I have to learn React now. And so I remember I spent maybe a couple of days watching Egghead videos, and they were really good. I really recommend the Egghead videos, especially if you're going to use Redux, like Dan Abramov's Redux tutorials. I found them really helpful. Just started building it out. And at first it was slow, like getting any, I remember I was so excited when I got like, I think, what did I build first? I think I built the sidebar and put like one file in it. And that took a whole afternoon just to show one little piece of HTML. And I was like so excited that it was rendering something. But yeah, it was slow to build at first, that's for sure.
I remember you and Chris had one day where I think you paired together to make, if I'm remembering correctly, to make a button click.
Yeah. Right? Like, so we decided also for, I think for the same reason, because it was the most popular at the time. Also, I think Alex had used it on his side project. We decided to use Redux for state management, and React is like, whatever to understand. That's pretty quick to pick up. You could, you know, you have components, they render things, not too difficult. But Redux is like a whole new mental model to think about how you handle state and how your components control the state. So just trying to wrap our heads around that. I mean, Chris and I spent also with we were using ES6 syntax for the first time. And just we spent 2 hours just trying to make a button like click and do something, and it was so frustrating. Like, it's, and it was just, yeah, it was slow. Like, Chris gave up, he walked away, and then I came in, and like, I was like, oh, I got it clicking, like, just and it was to do, it was because we weren't understanding how like ES6 arrow syntax functions work properly. It was the context within the function that was throwing us. So, React and Redux and ES6 all at once was kind of just like a whole new stack. So, I mean, it was slow. It was very slow to get going with this thing. I think we underestimated how long it would take to get to a point where we were like developing quickly on this thing.
It was like, I mean, there's so much kind of groundwork that goes out there to do with the whole pipeline, really. And it was, we didn't really even have like a plotted out how our state would look or how our data structure would look or what goes into what and what goes where.
Totally. And that was a result of like us not knowing what we were doing, essentially. It's like we're trying to make this really complicated app with a whole new tech stack with tech that we've never used before. So, like, we didn't know how to plan, like, that stuff. So we kind of rewrote the state management of this app, like, 5 times in the course of building it, because we'd do this work and then we'd be, like, backed ourselves into a place where it's the rendering performance is terrible, or, like, this is not going to work at all, can't do these things we want, so there was like lots of rewriting going on, but we couldn't have done it any other way, because we just didn't have the knowledge required to do it any other way.
Yeah, and it's learning 3 things at once. You're gonna run into some stumbling blocks and some learning experiences along the way.
Yeah, I think Tim, you and I especially had some times, especially with the Redux thing, like how it's. Yeah.
Made me so angry.
Like, Tim gets so frustrated because the thing is that if you're not familiar with Redux, it's like basically a tool to manage your state in a kind of like global state, and then your components interact with it through reducers. And what it's supposed to prevent is you just changing the state all over the place, having state stored in components, and you don't know where it's stored, like which component's in, or like what's messing with it. So it's necessary for a big app, which is very stateful, which is what we have. But to make, you know, one change to the state, you have to add your event handlers in your components, send those out, dispatch actions, which then will affect a reducer, which then in turn will return a new state to the component. So you have to touch like 4 files just to change 1 bit of state. So it's like when you're used to perhaps old school dev where it's like, okay, I click the button and I change the state in this button file, you know, like it's, so I don't need to touch all these other files. And it's frustrating to wrap your head around how that data has to travel all the way around the app and back again just to make something work.
The thing that was getting me the most is, and that was kind of like a big part about the mental shift, is I always wanted to be like, I wanted there to be a model in some sense. I wanted to be like, I've got the user, now just give me the username.
Right.
And even if that username had to be like, oh, the username was like ID plus their name or something like that, that action, that just, there was nothing in that step.
Yeah.
But then in the end, it's interesting how similar it is to what I wanted, in that we do like user.getIn, you know, settings, mm-hmm. name or something like that. So we survived. I think most of my panic attacks, the result was like, no, this is right.
I know that you had many, many crises of conscience working through this. I mean, I would see, I mean, isn't this what turned you into the ghost of Tim Holman?
I think I just changed that.
Yeah, we had one day where it seemed like it might be the end for old Tim Holman.
That was to do with our build chain, like our own build chain, because we were messing our new, like, our Webpack bundler, which would then go through the old school Rails, like, builder asset, what is it called? Asset compiler? I don't know. It would have to go through two steps, and just in that process, it was, like, messing with the code that Holman was writing, and, like, it was just like, a build chain nightmare. That's the kind of day where, you know, people like bitch and moan about tools or whatever and how it's too hard these days to like build websites. And I'm like, oh, whatever, they're fine. But then on days like that, you're like, I am quitting this job. Like, because I have to deal with these stupid build tools. Like, that you have days like that where they're just not working for you.
So was there any conflict between using React and, you know, the Ruby on Rails base that CodePen is on? Was that a complication in the process?
Not really. There's a little bit of shifty stuff in there when I added the live view, where I was like, oh, we're starting to have multiple pages now. It's not done the best.
Yeah, it's the rest of CodePen sort of uses our old JavaScript. And then I guess like our new project page is like, a Rails view and route, and then we just like load all the React JavaScript in that page. So it's like we're kind of just shoving a single page app in like one page of the website. So it's like a bit weird that that's the way it works, but it seems to, like, you can't tell from the front end what's going on really, unless you inspect and you have a look at what's going on.
Some other interesting parts are like the, some of the things that we had to add in that weren't really natively React. So CodeMirror, mm-hmm. for instance, we kind of have our special wrapper around that. It works awesomely, to be honest. I really like it. But it was interesting to be like, oh, in the middle of our React component, we actually need something completely
access
different.
To external, like, libraries, essentially. But that was because we were loading that code for other pages in the site, and we didn't want to be like bundling a second version of CodeMirror into our like force people to download that again just for the projects page. Like, we wanted to reuse the scripts that people had downloaded on other pages of the site. So that's why we were doing it that way.
So you have a note here about immutable JS.
Oh yeah,
you want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, so we got, as I was saying, with the rewriting and the, oh no, this is all wrong, and the rewriting, like, stuff, we came to the point where we realized that we had to do a lot of diffing, like, on the front end, because if you've ever used projects, you'll see that, like, you know, you have several files, they all have different characteristics and content and settings, and then you have project settings, and then we have to basically constantly maintain, like, in the state, know what you've got saved on the server end and what you've changed in your client. And that requires a lot of sort of, like, comparison between huge blobs of JavaScript objects, basically, and that is slow to do. If you're just comparing to deep comparing two objects of JavaScript, it's very slow, and because we were having to do it on component rendering, like, that was just slowing the whole app down because it constantly had to do these, like, comparisons. So I think it was Alex suggested checking out Immutable, and that ended up being what saved us, because what Immutable is it allows you to sort of store your JavaScript objects in these, it turns them into immutable objects, which they're just like a function that breaks your, it turns your object into an immutable object, which means you can perform operations on it and get data from it. And it will never modify the original JavaScript object. It always returns you a new version of it. But what it allows for is very fast and cheap comparison of big JavaScript objects that are turned into immutable objects. So that really, Immutable.js really saved us in the performance side of things, just because we were able to because we were able to compare data really quickly and show the diffs between, a file you've changed since you've saved it last would be the simplest example. And the nice thing about Immutable is when you're using Redux, the idea is that you have a state that you do not modify. You don't modify the state. You always perform an action on it that will return a new version of the state. And that's essentially what immutable objects do as well. It's this concept of immutability where you don't mutate the object, you just perform an action on it and it returns a new version of that object. So immutable works really well with Redux. But I got to put a caveat in for all of this stuff. Like, this stuff has saved us because the projects app is insanely complicated, and there's so much state to manage and so much comparison between objects, and it's just ridiculous, like, how much state we have to manage. So these tools for this app saved us. But if you're building something smaller and simpler, you probably don't need, Redux and Immutable and stuff. I think it's for apps that are bigger and have, a lot of global state that a lot of components need to subscribe to. This technology is awesome for that.
So before we wrap up for the show, we should talk a little bit about the lessons you've learned along the way, the road of React. I know that one of the things that I know just from my own perspective was that this on its own added so much time that we were not considering at the beginning of the project. Mm-hmm. When we were first talking about this, I think we were hoping for 6 months, from the original discussion to launch. And I think that once everybody got into this and got into the learning curve of having to learn React, of having to get used to ES6, of having to get used to Redux, that's when we started to realize, okay, we're going to need to manage our expectations about time here. I'm right about that, right? Like, that's kind of what ended up happening in the beginning.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, definitely. There was a lot of odd caveats that we had to learn along the way. I kind of feel like now when we even consider adding something, we can think mentally about what the performance cost of that will be. Whereas there's still things that are built like the gulp console that are removed now or that are kind of commented out because we're like, oh, this actually needs like a really big look over. But at the time we're like, oh, this is fine. Let me just build this. That definitely cost us a lot.
Yeah. I think the danger with React and like this stuff is that once you understand it, it does become very fast to just add stuff onto it. And maybe it's like less tech stack related, but more like this probably comes more into project management side of things, which we'll do another episode on, but we were just kind of like building things on because we could. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll just add this because I think it would be cool. Yeah. And because we didn't really understand, like, as Tim said, the performance, how that's going to affect the performance of the app, like, we just did it, because we're like, oh, it's only going to take 2 days to make this. So just like, I'll do it, So that's the danger of using a stack that makes it like super quick in the end once you're onto it to add things on. I feel like for me personally, one thing that I learnt, a takeaway for anyone who's thinking about using Redux and React, is that I didn't realize when I started using Redux that I thought everyone just put all of their state in the Redux state, like every piece of state just goes in the global state. But now I realize that probably a better pattern is to keep like application logic state in the Redux state, and then any state that is like UI based that is completely local to a component, I would keep that in the component state. So if I were to rewrite this again, which I'm not, I would separate, like, and that's every time I add a new component now or like have to refactor something, that's what I'm doing. I'm just putting, so an example of that would be if you change, if you click a button and it turns, it has to turn red, for instance, and it's not, that state is not tied to anything else in the app. Like nothing else in the app needs to know about what color that button is because it's not tied to any state that another component is sharing. You could leave that state in the component itself, just using set state and get state, versus every piece of state in your app having to go to the global Redux state.
Right. We started to get there in the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at this point, you're, of course, React masters. And
yeah. Anyway. Well, I don't know if we're masters, but we certainly love it. I think, would you agree, Holman, that we made the right decision
Definitely. I mean, you go back. I'm going back doing things on the pen editor at the moment, and I'm like, oh, dear. What world am I in right now?
Oh, I know both of you have said things like, wouldn't it be great to bring this over to the pen editor? And I think maybe someday, we'll see, right?
I feel like if you did a scan of my brain has now split into two brains, one for React work and one for the regular work.
Jake and I have both been burned by like putting ES6 syntax accidentally in the pen editor because we're not thinking, and then our like our bundle Rails bundler compilers just craps out. It's like, oh, what are you doing? Because it's only used to ES5.
No, only dumb code here, please.
So one cool thing also about, you know, having built this with React and it being a project editor is that this thing that you have built with React is super great for building things with React, right? Like we have, just as starter templates to get started with projects, we have a React profile. Chris made that weights calculator with React. And those are just, you know, little boilerplates that we set up for people to give a try. So it's kind of, recursive almost to be building, you know.
Good for good. I was building those boilerplates like right at the end, you know, like, oh, we need to give somebody a view and a React and a, you know, somewhere to start it off. And it was definitely like, oh, these are really simple inside the big thing, inside the motherboard.
Right, yeah, it's the mega React app. Inside,
so
which you
next
can make
job
one.
For anybody listening is to build a smaller editor in our editor that accepts.
We've seen a couple pens like that, so I've been wondering when we're going to get a project that's
a project editor,
code pen.
It's definitely going to happen.
Totally.
One of the things I'm most excited about, well, I was most excited about when I got it working, was just the fact that we bundle your JavaScript for you, your ES6 JavaScript, so you can use like imports and exports like you would in a sort of normal Babel Webpack project. And I think that was inspired by the fact that we'd been working with it like to build the thing, and now I've written JavaScript that way. I'm like, I don't want to use like ES5, like So, and I was like, I don't want to use it in the project editor. Like, so I wanted to get it working so you could use ES6 properly in the project editor. And when it did get working, I was like, I was very excited about this because I'm like, now this is something that like I want to use, you know?
Definitely. That's been the nicest thing for all of us. I think that each one of us has wanted this in CodePen, and each one of us, as soon as it was ready to start playing with, we were all super eager to just get in there and start making a thing. Like, I've got a project I'm working on, and all of us, no matter which part of CodePen we do, we all wanted to jump into this and get going with it. So it's really exciting to see it out.
I feel like when we launched this, that was... like, I was, like, joking that I switched from, like, pre-launch anxiety to post-launch anxiety.
Yeah, I think we all
but
did.
But the post-launch anxiety is so different. It's like, oh, we have so much to do. Whereas before, it was like, oh, we just have not that much to do.
Yeah, before you kind of imagine the problems, and then after you know the problems.
Know the problems.
And that's the difference.
Yeah.
But yeah, but this is it for React for today, but we have more episodes coming up in the future. We're going to talk more about everything that went into projects. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks, Rach and Tim, for helping me do this episode today.
All right.
No worries.
Founder free
this time, but Chris is coming back. Don't worry, everyone. He'll come back and say hey, everybody, at you. All right, bye, everyone.
Okay, bye.